Senate Education and Government Committee to order. Today we're focusing in on all-day kindergarten, or maybe that's a misnomer. We're really talking about moving kindergarten from its current 2.5 hours up to 4 or 5 hours. We're going to open a public hearing on the three kindergarten bills that we have before our committee. I'd like to open then a public hearing on SB 364, SB 68, and SB 44. Let's begin with Senator Monroe is here, and you are the chief sponsor of Senate Bill 364.
Mr. Chair, would you like me to provide a quick summary?
I'm so sorry.
That's no problem.
Stand by for a summary.
Senator Monroe can always speak to it as well. Senate Bill 68 and Senate Bill 364 read the same. They require school districts to offer half-day kindergarten, and they allow school districts and charter schools to offer supplemental kindergarten. The bills would change the basis of the calculation of the aggregate days of membership for supplemental kindergarten pupils for purposes of state school fund distributions, essentially bringing that up to a full day, beginning with the 2010-2011 school year. The bill takes effect July 1st, 2010. Senate Bill 68 has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Senate Bill 364 has a subsequent referral to Finance and Revenue.
Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Senator Hass and members of the Education Committee. I appreciate you inviting me today. Just like to clarify from that summary that currently, ever since I carried the bill in 1981, currently all school districts in Oregon must have a half-day kindergarten program. And this bill and Senate Bill 68 just clarify that. That's current law. And then we go from there. I'd like to talk to you first a little bit about American democracy and the concept of universal free public education. This country is different than the rest of the world. Since the days of Thomas Jefferson and Horace Mann, we have built our democracy on the concept, among others, one of the main pillars is the concept of universal free public education. You go to Japan, the children pay for their education. Much of Europe, the better schools are paid schools. Only in this country have we relied on this concept. It's a great equalizer. It says that if you're born in a poor family or if you're born in a rich family, you have the same rights to free, quality, universal public education. The problem with what we're doing with kindergartens in the last couple of years is that it flies in the face of that. And then the history is, of course, that 25 years ago, only one district in six in Oregon even offered kindergarten at all. I, with my cohort, the late Nancy Riles, who was the House leader at that time, I was in the Senate, put through the kindergarten bill that took several years to implement, but ultimately led to each district in this state, each public school district, offering a half-day kindergarten program. In recent years, several schools and across the country, there's been a movement toward all-day kindergarten. And studies have shown that it has a dramatic effect, that having these young people exposed to 4 or 5 hours instead of 2.5 has a dramatic effect, especially if they come from a less than desirable background, poor background, single parent, maybe English as a second language, or, you know, other identifiable things that might cause them to learn at a slower rate. The all-day kindergarten program is dramatic in terms of its impact. Also, of course, in the last few years, we've seen a great increase in the emphasis on pre-Head Start and Head Start programs, which generally are all-day programs. And so what you have is many students, children, going through an all-day Head Start program, maybe starting in pre-Head Start, and then they come to kindergarten and they have only a 2.5 hour program. So districts have been moving to meet this need. Some have taken the extra money out of something else in their budget. Some school boards, like in David Douglas, where I served 10 years on the school board, decided that funding all-day kindergarten was so important that they would be willing to trim other aspects of their budget in order to make sure that's taken care of. Other school districts, understanding the importance of it, have decided to charge tuition. And we ran into some court cases 2 years ago And a bill was passed over my objection to extend for 2 years the right of those districts that are charging tuition to charge that tuition. Now, there's a problem, first of all, with charging tuition. Everybody agrees, all of the studies agree, all-day kindergarten or full-day kindergarten or extended kindergarten has a dramatic effect on all students, but especially on those most needy. The problem is when you charge tuition, you lose many students that need it the worst. It means that only those whose parents can afford to pay the tuition get the benefits of all-day kindergarten. So in essence, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Students that are already the most advantaged move on ahead because they get the benefit of the all-day kindergarten. Students whose parents can't afford it fall further behind. We all know that in education, and I've been an educator all my life, that success breeds success and failure breeds failure. And getting a good start and being competitive and having success at an early age means the likelihood is that they'll continue to have success as they move forward through high school and college and university and wherever they want to go in life. So it's very important that we bring an end to this practice of charging tuition. And that practice really runs out at the end of this year unless this legislature does something about it. I really believe that charging tuition for what is supposed to be free, universal public education is un-American and certainly unfair. Senate Bill 364 is permissive. Some people have advocated mandating full-day kindergarten in all districts. I'm not doing that. I believe in, maybe because I spent 10 years as a local school board member, I believe in the rights of local elected school boards to make the right decisions for the people that they serve. You don't run for school board unless you really care about education. It's a lot of work for no money. So I believe that the vast majority of elected school board members are passionate as I am about public education and will make good decisions within the budgetary constraints. But currently, they're being forced to either trim other programs and find other dollars to pay for that second half of that day or to charge tuition, which I've already spoken to. So Senate Bill 364 simply says, starting next year in 2020, or starting in 2010-2011, that we would change the basic school formula from one-half FTE to one FTE for those districts that choose to offer an all-day program. Be happy to respond to questions.
Questions for Senator Monroe. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Monroe, do you have an idea of how many school districts or schools in the state do not have the facilities necessary for full-day kindergarten? For example, in many of the schools in my Senate district, they have two half-day programs in one classroom. They don't have an additional classroom available. So do you have an idea of how much infrastructure costs it would take to bring all schools up to the point where they have the space necessary to do this?
Let me respond. First of all, I'm not requiring all school districts to do this. It's a choice of the school, and they'll have time to prepare for that choice between now and the 2010-2011 school year. Secondly, one of the most crowded school districts in the state is David Douglas, growing at 3-4% a year in a very poor, property-poor area, and they provide full-day kindergarten programs at every elementary school. They do it by converting the teacher's room into a classroom, by bringing in modular classrooms. They believe in it so strongly that they find a way to provide that space. That's their choice. I'm not saying to some district that doesn't want to do that they have to. I'm just saying that those districts that choose to have an all-day program, the state ought to reimburse a full FTE as they do for all other educational programs.
Follow up? But one of the comments you made earlier was with it being a fee for the second half day, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But I would submit, Senator, that for those schools that don't have the infrastructure in place, they still are stuck at an FTE in the formula, and so the rich get richer and the poor get poorer still.
I'm not sure I follow you.
If I don't have the capacity to do full-day kindergarten, I'm still getting one half-day in the ADM.
Okay.
So, and which doesn't help me get to that capacity. I guess my point, Senator, is, and the point I made last session was, we need to look at the infrastructure needs before we go to this, because clearly the school districts that can do it get more money than the school districts that can't. So the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Okay. And I agree with you, we need to meet infrastructure needs. But under the current law, those districts that think it's important, because maybe, like David Douglas, they have 70% of their students qualifying for free and reduced lunch. They have over 30% of their students that are ESL, and they find that this is absolutely essential. So what's happening then is they're having to pull money out of something else that other districts have fully funded in order to pay for that, because they think it's more important. Maybe some people have said maybe it's more important than 12th grade. So it's a matter of priorities, and I'm not telling school districts how they ought to prioritize. I'm simply telling them that those that choose an all-day program after a couple of years of phase-in, and that the legislative process will determine what that appropriate period of time ought to be, that then they will be treated equally with other educational programs. If you do not support this, you must somehow believe that everything else we do in one half K to 12 is more important than a full-day kindergarten program, and I don't believe that.
Okay. Other questions?
Hey, one more. I was just curious, Senator, is with David Douglas, you mentioned that, so that comes out of their general fund. They're not, because they are a very poor district, they're not Title I, because I have Hood River Valley offers full day, but it's almost all Title I that they get money to offer the full day program.
David Douglas does get some federal money, but basically it's funded out of their overall budget. They're a very lean school district. They have only, for example, a principal in each elementary school, and the elementary schools are generally 600 or more. One principal, not a principal and two vice principals like some other districts have or whatever. They're a very lean district. They've cut every place they can in order to continue to fund what they consider to be an essential educational program and not charge tuition for it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, in all due respect, Senator Monroe, when you said, you made a comment, if we don't support this, then we don't believe in something. And I would submit to you, sir, that in this budget environment, maintaining what we currently have is going to be difficult enough. So to add is problematic in my perspective. And so there are a couple ways to look at this. So to say that if I don't support this bill, I don't support kindergarten, I think is a misstatement. So.
Okay, I didn't believe I said that. I believe what I said was that if you do not support doing something about this problem that ultimately leads us to fully fund all-day kindergarten, then you must somehow believe that all-day kindergarten is not as important as other educational programs in 1 through 12.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
On that, Representative Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Monroe. I'm going to ask a question that I don't know if you'll be able to answer, but maybe some of the other people coming up afterwards.
Got the superintendent right behind me.
Right. I wanted to ask you about the bill that was passed in 2008, Senate Bill 1068,
yeah,
that provided for school districts to be able to charge for supplemental kindergarten also said that the school district may not charge tuition for a student who is a member of a low-income family. So what I'm interested in is, since that bill was passed, have there been many waivers? Have most of the students been from low-income families and not paid, or have most of them paid? I'm just really interested in how that has worked out.
And I think the superintendent's a better person.
Yes, I was going to say, we're going to get some information on that, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Monroe, thank you.
You bet.
We'll call up the superintendent now. And on your point, Senator Monroe, that some have said that 12th grade should be dropped, I found out today that former Representative Betty Roberts, who would go on to the Supreme Court, had a bill in the 70s to shrink high school down to 3 years instead of four to make room for full-day kindergarten. So it's not like...
I submit, Mr. Chair, that you will not support that bill if you have a child who's approaching a senior year in high school.
Superintendent Castillo.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Susan Castillo, the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the State of Oregon. And first of all, I'd like to just thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Monroe, for your leadership on this issue. It's very, very exciting and very hopeful that we're going to get something done this session. I am here to express my support for changing the kindergarten funding formula and expanding access to a full-day kindergarten in the state of Oregon. I want to just hit on three main points. I'll be brief. You do have a copy of my testimony that's more in-depth, and then we also provided you with some data that we have collected about what's happening with the number of schools around the state that are now offering full-day kindergarten and how those are scattered throughout both urban and rural parts of the state. So we know that full-day kindergarten is good for all kids, but we also know that it's especially helpful to those children who live in poverty and to those who don't have English as a first language. It makes an enormous difference in their preparation for first grade. We know that funding full-day kindergarten is a smart investment because the research tells us that there is need for less remediation later in school when we give that special support to children early on. We also know that full-day kindergarten is happening in Oregon even without a state funding formula that pays for it. When I took office, there were only a few thousand kids in full-day programs, and today there are almost 14,000 students in over 100 districts in full-day programs. Our districts are, as you heard the good Senator Monroe say, they are figuring out some way to try to get this done because they know it does provide such benefits to our children. And that means that they're going without other investments in their programs that are very much needed. So I know that my bill, Senate Bill 68, does, require that the formula would be changed now. I would love to see that happen today, but I do realize, as Senator Bonamici brought up, that you are facing enormous challenges right now with what's happening with our state budget and what's happening with the budget across our country. The point I'd like to make is that I think what's really urgent and important for us to take care of this session is to set a date certain for when we are going to change the formula for full-day kindergarten from a half weight to a full weight for districts that want to offer full-day programs. Once again, my bill is not a mandate, just like Senator Monroe's. It would be up to local districts to decide whether that is the right direction for them, and families would decide whether that's the right direction. So it does retain local control, and it does allow communities to offer both if they want to, full day or half day, without forcing a mandate. I want to remind us that we have not changed the kindergarten formula since 1973, and it is very important that our policies reflect what a 21st century education is supposed to be. And that policy does not reflect that. We know that our children need to get to higher levels of learning and skill, and setting them on that course early on is absolutely what we need to do, and changing the funding formula would certainly help us do that. So we need a date certain so that districts have time to prepare and to plan. We almost 14,000 students, as I said, in over 100 districts. That's a 25% increase in just the past 2 years. So obviously our schools understand that we need to move in this direction. Our parents are demanding it. It's why we have tuition. It's because parents come to schools and say to the district, we are willing to pay for this because we know of the benefits for our children, and we want to work with you on setting up a tuition program. We absolutely need to move away from that practice, but for now it's why we have it, because there is such a demand. The research tells us that on average, children in full-day programs make greater gains in their reading achievement scores compared to those in half-day programs. There are just a whole long list of benefits, and I know others, so I won't go into those right now. You have them in my written testimony, because there are others who have signed up to testify who will go into that data about what they see happen every day for children who are in those programs. I know you're going to hear from David Douglas, the David Douglas School District, so they can provide you some more information. I'll also tell you that Prineville, where our National Teacher of the Year is teaching, that is a district that very proudly talks about the fact that they've had full-day kindergarten for a number of years and believe that they would not have the gains in their student performance without starting those children off to such a strong start. So I believe that we do have a wonderful opportunity in spite of the challenges that are before us right now in our state. And I do understand and very much respect the concerns that are going to be raised by others who are watching this issue closely. I have many fabulous friends that I work with in the education community who I know are very concerned about unfunded mandates. So I look forward to working with them on how we can make some progress on this issue. And I just pledge to you that I want to work in partnership with you and with everybody else who I know is not debating the benefits. I think it's all about how we get there and how we can get there together. So thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. I do appreciate you noting that you need to set a date certain, and I couldn't agree more. And I know before Senator Cruz gets to you, you've been looking at this, too, in terms of the space issue. Sometimes in that discussion, we forget that, schools are required to do kindergarten already.
Yes.
Let's not forget that they all do have kindergarten.
Right.
Some do double bunk, as you have it, but some don't. Not all do. So space is an issue. What have you found, or what recommendations do you have on that particular issue of this discussion?
Well, I do know, Mr. Chair, I do know that COSA has done a survey on full-day kindergarten, and I don't know whether they can provide some data from that survey today or not, but I know that that there has been a collection of data from school districts about full-day kindergarten, but we certainly could follow up and try to get more information from districts about those challenges. But I do believe that if we start planning today for a date certain, that we can figure out a way to get us there, and districts can start making the plans for their facility needs. And, it's really interesting. When resources are available, somehow progress can happen a little bit faster. So I think we just need to put that out in front of us and have a date certain for that. But I acknowledge that is a challenge for us to take on together, but it is not unsolvable. It's something we can do and take care of. And so I know it's a challenge, but I have no doubt that we can put a lot of really great people in a room together and we can figure this out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Superintendent, do you know when this recession is going to bottom out?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cruz, I do not, and I don't. No one does, and which is, I know, what's of very serious concern to everyone. I think that we have to really, plan for what we can do, and I think that we can still put in place some good policies that move us forward. We can always come back and revisit, depending on how things unfold in the future. The talk we continue to hear is that this is going to be a prolonged downturn, but that hopefully in another year and a half or so, 2 years, we may start coming out of this. So, you know, we could plan on that. We could plan around those estimations. But I do know that, you know, as the legislature is looking at moving towards yearly sessions, that gives us more of an opportunity to revisit issues like this and to take the temperature of, you know, how things are going with our economy and make adjustments along the way. But I do think that this is absolutely a policy direction that needs to be addressed as we're trying to provide our children with a 21st century education. It has to start with more support early. And we know when we do that, that we really can help get our kids to higher levels of success. And so this has to be a part of our overall collective efforts on how we help all children get to graduation. It starts very early on with a very strong start, and that's why full-day kindergarten is so essential.
Yeah, follow-up. Yeah. I'm not debating that point. I guess what I'm debating, and actually when and if we go to annual sessions, it won't be this year. So, what's troubling me is putting a date certain in, and your date certain is in this biennium, and we do not know the length or depth or breadth of this recession. You say we might be coming out in a year or two. Some experts say it could be 4 or 5 years before we're coming out, and so, you know, I'm concerned about the compression we're creating by whether you want to call it an expansion or not, it actually is an expansion. And doing that in this environment, and whether eliminating 12th grade is a good idea or not, I don't want to debate, but I would submit that those who are on track for graduation, it would be problematic for them. So that would be a big problem. So I guess, Ms. Chair and Superintendent, I have great concerns over a date certain in this economic environment.
Other questions? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your testimony. I would draw your attention to paragraph 4 in the material that you handed out. And that first paragraph within that Article 4, has the legal sufficiency been explored with respect to this patchwork that we have of some have, some haven't, the disparity of offerings even within a district in terms of our constitutional mandate to provide a uniform system of public instruction?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, because we don't mandate that all children would, you know, have to have pre-K or all children have to have a full day program, I don't believe that we would be up against, you know, we do say all children have to be in school, you know, by a certain age and throughout a certain grade, you know, age level, but if you're outside of that, and I think Senator, you raise a very important issue. We know that there are disparities in terms of the support and the access to rigorous, you know, content and a rigorous program, that there is great disparity about what happens from district to district and what happens for students. And I think that that's an issue. I really appreciate you raising it, and I think it's something that we absolutely need to address. It's something I talk about a lot, and I'd love to talk further with you this session about that issue. That's what this is about. This is about trying to get at the disparities in our system, and that there are children who need more support in order to be successful in school. And it's not, you know, we can talk about all the very real issues, Senator Cruz, that you bring up, and you bring up very good, important things that we need to put on the table as we have these conversations. Very important. But probably, you know, at the heart of all this, the main thing we need to talk about is kids and what they need to be successful. Yes, there are facility needs. Yes, we have a complicated funding formula and the way that it works. We need to be careful about how we do this. Yes, we need to give people plan to, time to plan. But every day that we don't give a child what he or she needs, that's a day they'll never get back, and we have set them back for their opportunity to be successful in our schools. And so that's why we need to act urgently on this issue. I know we can't fund it right now, today, but we can certainly start saying that we have a commitment to these children, and we're going to start doing it by this date. And that's what we're going to plan for, and we can all get busy planning for that. And because I think, if we don't do that, then we're going to continue to argue or continue to discuss all the very important issues that are on the table every time this issue comes up. And this is a session where we have an opportunity to take action. Something certain is going to happen for these children so that we get at the issue that you've just raised, the disparity that we have in our schools, in our education system, about not all children having what they need to be successful. And this is, there are many things we could do to make improvements on that. This is one really significant way that we can help make improvements on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Superintendent, thank you. This is excellent information. Appreciate your help and your office's help, your department's help, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Well, who better than an actual kindergarten teacher to help us discuss this? Jada Pearson from Beaverton School District. She helped me formulate some of my opinions on this issue 5-6 years ago. And she's bringing an assistant. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Senator Haas and members of the committee, thank you so much for having us. This is my daughter, Phoebe, who is in kindergarten, and she attends the school that I teach at, Fir Grove Elementary. I am luckily not her teacher. She is in the classroom next door, and lucky for us, today was an in-service day, so I attended in-service this morning and then came down for the afternoon, so she's not missing any class. So why full-day kindergarten?
Jada, why don't you identify yourself
for
the record?
And Jada Pearson, Beaverton teacher, kindergarten, anything else?
Good enough.
Okay, sorry. 2 years ago, I asked the question, why full-day kindergarten, of my kindergartner at the time, okay? And she replied, because I could learn so much more, and now I have another daughter in kindergarten, and I actually pay for her to attend a private kindergarten program in the morning, and then she attends the public kindergarten in the afternoon. As you know, kindergarten lasts only 2.5 hours each day, and during that time, students are expected to learn literacy skills, reading, writing, spelling, mathematics, social studies, science, and health. And each of these subjects require more time than we can devote, and as a result, many important subjects are skimmed or skipped. And there's not enough time to have students reflect on their learning or solidify skills. I was just in a training this morning where we spent 3 hours talking about writing and that the best thing to do for kids is to work on writing for more than an hour every single day. And out of my 2.5 hours every day, we don't get a chance to work on writing because the list is so long for what we need to do. So there are also subjects that have been deemed extras and therefore cut out of the kindergarten day, music and art and physical education. They're necessary for teaching the whole child. Kindergarten is supposed to be the place where children are introduced to school and to love learning. And without time for these subjects, kindergarten has become a stressful learning environment. Just last Friday, I actually taught a lesson for another kindergarten teacher, and that's how she was feeling. She was feeling stressed. She said, I don't think my kids are getting writing. You know, back to that big picture of writing, that's what they're saying. For kids to be successful in college, they need to be good writers. So we're trying to start in kindergarten, and she's feeling frustrated because she doesn't have enough time. I spent an hour in her classroom that day teaching writing, and it was very successful, but again, we can't do that every single day. So again, the academic expectations for kindergartners have increased dramatically in the 12 years I've taught at this age level, and yet the amount of time I have with my students has not increased at all. If you looked at the foundations of learning for kindergarten, you'll notice that, just how much it is that we're expected to introduce kids to and teach them about. 6 years ago, my school district tried to find ways to deal with the problem of struggling students, and we created a program called Kindergarten Intensive Intervention Program. We used our Title I funds for this program, and in some of our schools, some of the kids got full-day kindergarten. It ended up being only about a third or a fourth of the kids. They would get work on reading and writing and mathematics, so they'd get a second half of the day. Last year, my school decided to try to change it. We kept hearing that lower class sizes was really where the state should put its money. We heard that over and over again, so we said, well, let's try it out. Last year, I had 12 kids in my classroom. And you know, it was fantastic. It gave me about 20 to 30 extra minutes a day of instruction time, but that's not expanding my day to a full day. So this year, I have 16 students in my classroom. And again, it gives me a little extra time, but it's not as much as the students need. It's more equitable, which was our goal. We thought it was really unfair for some students to make pretty remarkable progress and then other students not to. So we were trying to look at the equity issue. And now it's more equitable, but you don't see the same progress that we saw when we had that full day. So some other benefits of the full-day kindergarten is that students would have one teacher for the full day. Phoebe and I had a conversation on the ride down about the fact that she really likes her teacher in the morning and she really likes her teacher in the afternoon, but they both do reading, but they do reading in a kind of different way. And so they're not really deeply meeting her reading needs. They're not meeting her needs necessarily at her level at all times because they both have shorter periods of time to work on it. They're also doubling up on some things and then completely leaving other things out, whereas one teacher would be able to look at what her needs were for an entire day. So that's one area. Also, we would have more students attending public kindergarten as opposed to private daycares and kindergartens. And so the curriculum would be based on the state foundations. This is very, very important. In schools where you see students, I actually taught 1 year of first grade, and I saw students come in from private programs because it was less expensive for their parents to put them in a private program than to have them in public kindergarten for 2.5 hours with daycare before and daycare after. And those students then, their learning did not meet the foundations of learning. They were not ready for first grade in the same way that students who attend public kindergarten are ready for first grade. So, and then the other thing, and I keep hearing everyone talk about the economy, and I know that this is a big, big issue, and in the area that I work in, some of our families would really be very relieved to have students in class all day. I know that there are families who are moving constantly from one Title I school to another where they're trying to find an apartment that they can afford, and they're also leaving their kids sometimes unsupervised, so their kids aren't having any education at that other part of the day, or they're trying to find the least expensive daycare that they can, and we've got TV bringing up some kids who really could be in school all day and making a lot more progress. And then the other part that I was thinking about is better articulation. We talk about the 3-hour Head Start programs, and then first grade is 6.5 hours. And kids who then go to 2.5 hours in between those 2 years, they're not really, it's not the best articulation model. The students get to first grade and suddenly they're overwhelmed rather than getting a chance to learn how to learn for that long during the day before going to first grade rather than having their time completely doubled on them. Kindergarten is the time for children to come to school and learn to love learning. It's the time for children to build a strong foundation of learning and that will support them as lifelong learners. And full-day kindergarten will give students the time that they need to learn more. Thank you.
Mrs. Pearson, thank you for that. If you could give us some nuts and bolts, examples of how going from 2.5 hours to 4.5 or 5 hours would change your day. What would you do more of or less of?
Okay. One of the main things that I would do is add into my writing time. I know I spoke a little bit about writing, but I think writing is one of those key foundations. We teach students how to read, and in Title I schools and your most affected kids, people tend to focus on reading and reading scores, and they say, well, if the reading scores come up, then that's what you need. But what we found is students need to be, that's a passive learning strategy, and we want to look at the active learning strategies of writing. And so that would be one of the key areas that I think that most teachers would spend more time. We're told over and over again kids should write every single day, and that is what I love to do, but with 2.5 hours, I'm not able to do that and meet the other expectations. So,
if when you see a third or fourth grader, can you tell which ones have had half day versus which ones have had a full day of kindergarten?
I'm going through my mind because I've got some former kindergartners in my building, and I would say that for the ones that we had that stayed in our building, because we do have a high mobility rate, that I would know the difference between the ones that attended the second half of the day, because that got them more on level once they got to first grade. So yes, sadly though, we have so many kids move that we don't often get to see the rewards
of
that work.
And that's typical of a Title I.
It's very typical of a Title I school, and it's become more common as the economy is changing.
Questions?
Yeah, and I don't expect you to know this, but you brought up something there. In Title I school, how much turnover is there? I mean, would you have any idea what percent of the kids that start in kindergarten are still there in fifth grade?
I wouldn't know for fifth grade, no. Out of the third grade class, though, of the kids that I know, probably about half of my class is still there. So, and I taught a regular size class that year, so that was about 24 kids. So I think that there are about 12. So, and we're seeing more mobility now.
And that's probably symptomatic in Title I's everywhere, or that's, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Senator Hess. First, I want to thank Phoebe for taking the time to come down here and giving up your afternoon to sit there very patiently with your mom. You're doing an excellent job. Ms. Pearson, I was a little concerned about the comment that you made about teachers being stressed and not being able to do music, art, and PE. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit? I know Chair Hess asked you about what you would add back in, mm-hmm. but if you had the opportunity to do full-day kindergarten, what would that mean to the things like music, art, and PE? Thank you.
That's a very good question. Actually, that means we would be able to get back into the schedule for music and for PE. We do get to have library services right now. We don't have as much time for the arts in our classroom right now. So those are some main areas that we would add back in to the curriculum by having a full day. First through fifth does get to have those services, and then it depends on the school and the way the school determines, you know, which classes get, you know, however many. Our school has really made it a priority that all students have music and PE twice a week. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jada, Phoebe,
yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Phoebe,
you.
Do you have anything to add?
Do you have a favorite book? That's okay. Just wondering. You can tell me later.
Well, thank you both. Thank you both for coming down.
Thank you very much.
Get your help.
All right.
Okay, it was Superintendent Barbara Rommel, David Douglas. Thank you for coming, Superintendent. We're interested in hearing about the legendary David Douglas.
I'm going to hire Senator Monroe as my marketing representative.
We thought you already did.
My name's Barbara Rommel, and I'm superintendent of David Douglas School District. And I appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk about one of my passions. State Superintendent Castillo talked about the last major change in kindergarten at the state level was in 1973, and I remember that well because I taught the first session of kindergarten in David Douglas School District in 1973-74. I knew at that time that the half-day program did not give my students the full range of possibilities that they needed to really expand their learning. And now, 35 years later, I'm just about ready to retire, and it is time to make that a reality and give our children a full day of instruction at that very critical time of their lives. David Douglas, we began offering one session of full-day kindergarten following the Oregon Act for 21st Century Schools passage, which, as you may remember, one of the areas was early childhood education, and that act encouraged, did not mandate, but encouraged more instructional time for the younger students. We had families selected for that one class out of a lottery system. And believe me, the families whose names were not picked as part of that lottery were very upset. In fact, one of the fathers called me the B word to my face because his child did not get into the full day program. And I would have liked to have made that available to all of the students that we had at that time, but it just wasn't possible. During the recession following 2001, we cut back and we eliminated all of our full-day programs and went back to a half-day program. And it was at that point that we saw that there was a marked difference in the amount of learning our students were able to achieve compared to the previous years. And talking with the kindergarten teachers, our school board made the decision that we were going to have full day kindergarten for all of our students. And since our community is a very low-income community, 73% of our students qualify for free reduced meal assistance, we decided that it wouldn't be fair to charge anyone any kind of tuition, that we would do it out of our general fund and looking at any other grants that we had available. So at that point, we began doing a full-day kindergarten program for all of our students. We have been watching the students' progress very carefully. And our first group of students who participated in that full-day program will be taking the state assessment for the first time as third graders this year. So we'll be able to kind of check that. Now, we do have high mobility, just as was mentioned before. And so it's not going to be exactly an apples-to-apples kind of thing. But we'll be able to see if some of those gains that we observed early on in the students' ability to develop their phonetic skills and really feel good about their learning experience will make a difference. This morning, I attended a meeting with some of the civic leaders in the city of Portland, and Pat Burke, who's works with Superintendent Castillo at the Department of Education, presented some graphs showing the difference between different ethnic groups, minority groups, and their achievement on the state assessment tests. And it's a very graphic view of what they call the achievement gap. Now, what we have found is the full-day kindergarten program is a big step in reducing that achievement gap. So it is a plus before the students even, as they start, to keep that gap from even occurring. And to me, believe me, I'm fully aware of the economic situation, but to me this is a cost-effective way to help our students be successful. And even though I have no research to quantify how much less we would spend on remedial programs as students go up through the grades, I really feel that this would be the best bang for the buck that the state of Oregon could do on so many different levels to ensure that all of our children, no matter how poor they are, no matter what minority group they represent, get a really positive start in learning. And all of you who have ever been around a child and even being children yourself know that if a student feels that he or she is successful, they will make leaps and bounds in their progress compared to the student who feels that they're stupid or unable to do some of the things that their peers are able to do because they didn't have the advantages that peer had as an infant, toddler, and preschooler. One last thing. I am aware that some of the bills that you'll be looking at also include provisions that say school districts must offer a half-day program for those parents who want that. And I know that idea is trying to address the concern that there may be some families who only want their child to go to a half-day program. Well, our experience has been that if we have parents who come in and say, well, I really just want my child in a half-day program, we have them attend school just half the day. Usually that has lasted at the most 2 weeks. and then the children start attending for the full day at the parents' request. So I would probably encourage anyone who has a bill before the body to take that kind of language out, because it will self-adjust.
Superintendent, thank you. That's very compelling testimony. Presumably, when you went to full day, decided to go back to full day, without any extra state money, your district had to sacrifice or give up something else. What are some examples of other things you gave up to afford the additional costs of full day?
Well, David Douglas has the advantage, at least in one way to look at it, of being a growing district. And so with the state funding formula the way it is, having more students coming in every year helps with that. We also are have high Title I numbers, and so even though we're not using Title I funding for our full-day kindergarten, we have those funds kind of offset some of the other kind of remedial and parent involvement and some of the other requirements that we have. Another thing is we have high class sizes. We have about 27 students average in our kindergarten and through our grade schools.
And you think that trade-off is worth it?
Oh, in a heartbeat. And we, of course, we also provide with that number of students a full-time assistant in each one of the classrooms.
Sure. Questions for Superintendent Rommel? Well, we really appreciate you coming forward and giving us your testimony, especially on the results so far and the cost-effectiveness of it. I hope we can be in touch with you as we progress through this session.
Thank you, and good luck to all of you.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got quite a few names on here, and I intend to stay until everybody's had their say on this. Betty Hawes.
Good afternoon. It's House, by the way.
Sorry.
The old German spelling.
I've got a carbon.
Carbon copy.
House.
I'm Betty McChesney House, Public Policy Committee for the American Association of University Women, and I'm a retired educator of 30 years, some years. And yes, to answer your question, Senator Haas, on the does it make a difference? I taught fourth grade for many years, and whether a kid has kindergarten or not does make quite a difference. It makes a difference in their emotional ability. It makes a difference in their skill level and in cooperation. So it does, to answer that first.
Thank you.
AAUW of Oregon was one of the first groups to advocate for kindergarten. We now not only would agree that all kindergarten, including supplemental kindergarten, be funded by the state, but that it should be required for all children age eligible to attend. The kindergarten was originally thought of as a garden where children could receive and the nurture and care to grow strong and healthy. As quoted from the Association of Childhood Education International, the inspiration remains to educate the whole child, focusing on physical, social, emotional, and intellectual development. Children need quality kindergarten programs to achieve their potential in life, end quote. Kindergarten children experience many things for the first time. Kindergarten children are active. They are curious learners who needed a variety of experiences and large blocks of time to try out their ideas and to gain skills to expand their learning. A quality kindergarten program will provide children with strong foundation upon which they can continue to build the knowledge and skills necessary to prepare them for lifelong learning. Kindergarten is where a child begins their learning skills, attitude, and basic knowledge. It is where many children are introduced for the first time to math, reading, social studies, science, and art and music appreciation. It is where they build relationships learn how to work with others, and share and take part in projects. In the United States, 40 states have legislation requiring public school districts to offer kindergarten programs. Of those, 10 states require full-day kindergarten, but such a requirement is extremely important. According to West, Denson, Haskins, and the Costa Magazine 2004, approximately 55% of students in the United States who attend kindergarten do so in full-day programs. In Canada, all provinces require school divisions to provide kindergarten programs. This is true in many European and Asian countries as well. In many studies completed both in this country and others, kindergarten is considered one of the most important components for starting children on good learning paths. Many children in our communities receive their only hot meal of the day at school, where they learn about good nutrition and healthy practices. Schools in many of our communities are also the source for information to parents regarding other social services and health care clinics. Thus, the importance of kindergarten cannot be overstated. We are asking only the best for our children, so we need to provide the basics for them. We urge you to pass Senate Bill 364 and my subsequent bills that would form the kindergarten, full-day kindergarten.
Okay. Questions from Ms. House? Thank you very much for your testimony
and
that of your organization. Andy Miller, Oregon Business Association.
Chair Hass, members of the committee, my name is Andy Miller. I'm Senior Policy Analyst for Oregon Business Association. Oregon Business Association advocates for long-term enhancement of Oregon's business environment and quality of life, providing bipartisan statewide leadership that strives to ensure Oregon's long-term prosperity. You may wonder why we're interested in kindergarten. Our members traditionally have understood that a well-educated workforce is the best key to prosperity. It has been demonstrated by much research that investments in not only full-day kindergarten, but also preschool, Head Start for all children who want to be there, will make a great difference in their future success. There's an urgent need to invest in early childhood education for the future of Oregon and its citizens. To be economically competitive, we must produce more high school and college graduates and a more highly trained, skilled workforce. The return on investment is excellent for early childhood, and you've heard that data. I don't have that here, but I'm sure if you need the numbers, Morgan's right back there and he can get them for you. We have, for the last two sessions, supported funding to ensure all eligible 3- and 4-year-olds in Oregon have access to Head Start. We will continue to advocate for that as well. We really want you to, I heard someone saying a date certain. I called it a time certain. We have heard every session, for the last three sessions that I recall, that we'll get full-day funding, or we'll get funding for full-day kindergarten when the budget looks better or when some set of circumstances exist. It's time now for us to act and set a time for this to happen. It has been clearly demonstrated that it's a good investment and that it works well. There's a couple things that people haven't said and that we thought of when Senator Hass was on the Education Committee for Oregon Business Association in the time that he wasn't with this body. And we came down and asked the superintendent to look at what might happen to these children. Was there some way we could get at the food dollars, for example? There's a lot of federal food dollars. These children are in Head Start. They're given meals. They go to kindergarten, and they have maybe a breakfast. They go home to who knows what. So you've put this investment into the preschool, and then you yank it away from them. And to us, that didn't seem to make much sense. The other piece of data we'd be interested in seeing is, what is the drop-off in special ed dollars? Because I realize that the special ed dollars have, you get a bump in the formula for special ed. And if we have fewer children needing remedial services later down the line, it seems to me that's going to be a trade-off. Things like school buses, they don't make two trips for full-day kindergarten. They make the same trip that they would have made for a half-day. So there's an incidence where you have an economy of scale. I think it's time for us to look at this and quit worrying about the formula. Let's find the solutions like David Douglas did, whatever they are. If it's necessary to put together the dreaded work group or task force, we would be more than happy to participate in this to help move it forward.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And we all know there is some dread there, but I agree with, you know, when you talk about the economies of scale of moving to make kindergarten full day, you have to remember that it's not like we're not doing kindergarten now. We're doing 2.5 hours, and it's a very expensive, and I would submit relatively inefficient, delivery of those 2.5 hours, just by the fact that you're still going to heat buildings and pay people and you have administration. So I do agree that that's a compelling issue. Questions? Andy Miller?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Chuck Bennett, Ozzy Rose. Colleagues, we are also holding a hearing on Senate Bill 68, and unlike the other two kindergarten bills, this one, as is written here as a committee bill, only extends the exemption on kindergarten. So I want to make that clear. Dana, did you have anything to add on?
Mr. Chair, we have an amendment on that bill before us as well that I could explain, but if we're not going to touch on it, it's your preference, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we have an amendment for that bill.
For our committee bill, Senate Bill 44.
Go ahead.
The -1 amendments to Senate Bill 44 would extend the applicability of the law that allows school districts and public charter schools to charge tuition through the 2012-2013 school year. It would permit school districts to request an apportionment for offering supplemental kindergarten under certain circumstances beginning in July 1st, 2013.
Gentlemen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. Mr. Chairman, there is no debate on the value of kindergarten, and we strongly support it. Half day, full day, this is a very, very valuable program. At the same time, we do want to express support for Senate Bill 44-1, the amendments that were just outlined by the administrator, and we may actually be asking for some changes to it over time. We're hoping we can use Senate Bill 44 with the committee's cooperation as a vehicle to capture the objectives of Senate Bill 68 and 364, which is to accomplish full day kindergarten as soon as possible. And toward that, we also are bringing a bill to the legislature. It's currently in draft form, has not been introduced, but it is a school facility study that includes, among a variety of other reviews of existing school facilities, a look at facilities as they exist to serve kindergarten students, and we hope you'll be seeing that bill in the near future. There was an allusion to a survey done by COSA regarding kindergarten, and I apologize for not bringing in a copy of that. I will forward it to the administrator to have it forwarded to you. This is one of those, if you wonder if COSA is too big, apparently among the four of us that serve in kind of these sort of capacities, we weren't talking about what the other guys were doing. I was just frankly unaware of this kindergarten survey until it was brought up just a few minutes ago that it actually existed and that it existed in as interesting a form as it does. I had a chance to look at it over the past several minutes, and there's just a couple things I want to mention to you that were found in the survey, and then I'll, as I said, provide you a copy. There were 135 responses of the nearly 200 school districts in the state. 56% of those offer kindergarten. 44% don't. Of that 44% that don't, the primary barrier is a facilities. About 66% say they don't have the facilities to provide kindergarten. 64%, which indicates there's a double issue, that it was an open enough question, there was a double response. 64% said it was not a top priority in their school improvement fund, and it appears the question, because school improvement funds were being used in many cases to provide full-day kindergarten, the real question was trying to find out how this rated in their use of school improvement funds after last session. The way it is generally paid for, most commonly it's paid for out of general funds among those who offer full day. 12% use tuition. 63% use their general fund. 12% use tuition. 53.4% use school improvement funds. The reason these numbers add up to much more than 100% is your school improvement funds would be run through your general fund, etc. And 34% use title funds. They support changing the formula to a full weight if there is enough money in the state school fund to pay for it, which tends to indicate that they're interested in a higher level of funding and funding for facilities, and that's at 68%. And I mentioned to you the barrier that facilities pose for them. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll get you a copy of that survey over here, and you should have it tomorrow morning.
Okay, and then you have legislation pending on a more overall facility?
Yes. Study. The facility study legislation we'll be introducing, I hope, in the next few days. We're working through the Speaker's office. He has had a facilities task force going on through the session and into the interim, and we've been sort of working through that group in cooperation with the Oregon School Facility Managers Association. Mm-hmm. And this looks at every aspect of the facilities issue, along with trying to find a funding system for school facilities. There are one of the underlying problems in school facilities and school infrastructure development is just the disparate valuation among our school districts.
And that is a huge issue.
It is a huge issue.
I would submit, though, that it's separate from the kindergarten issue. Virtually all schools have these disparate values. And
right.
In Beaverton, a new school is built, and 5 minutes later, there's a portable in the baseball field. And
yeah. Well, we certainly, I understand what you're saying. I would disagree with you on whether it is part of the overall problem with school facility. It is part and parcel of the entire problem of what's needed out there. One of the problems, Mr. Chairman, for those of us in education is when we peer in front of a committee and are asked about facilities, we're really making it up. I mean, just in all honesty, nobody knows. Nobody
but I was
has
the only
a
one that
clue.
Did that.
Yeah, if you've been told anything other than we're making it up, you're, I think, being kind of sold a bill of goods. We don't know what the problems are out there. We had a seismic survey done on a drive-by. We need to have a serious seismic survey of our buildings. We're finding buildings that are currently in the tsunami zone that need to be moved out of the tsunami zone. The entire Seaside school district needs to be moved out of the tsunami zone. We've got buildings that are in serious disrepair. We have a lack of plans for, in some cases, roofs, boilers. We have a lack of funding. I mean, it kind of goes on. One of the issues is kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We also are facing discussion of healthy schools, green schools, pest-free schools. I'm trying to think of the various issues you'll see in front of you this session. And all of it boils down to a pretty serious, in fact, a very serious facilities deficit. We think it's somewhere, just to give you a feeling of how much we know about it, somewhere between $7 and $70 billion worth of deficit in terms of school infrastructure, but we don't know. And so that's what this will take
on. Well, no doubt that is a problem. What I was saying is I don't want full-day kindergarten get bogged down
with
seismic upgrades and
tsunami
alerts.
No. This also is designed to report to the next legislature with a very clear description of what's going on. I mean, this is a pretty serious study. I will give you a chance to look at it. If you think it bogs it down, we'll figure out how to unbog it, because that's not what this is about.
Okay, thanks. Isaac Rose?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Ozzie Rose, and I'm representing 7 school districts in Washington County. In full disclosure, I testified before your predecessors on this issue in the early 1980s that you can't possibly mandate a half day of kindergarten, that everything would go haywire if you did. And by the way, at the time, my wife was driving my son to Monmouth every day to go to kindergarten because Salem didn't have one. So, anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I think there's some irony. There's a debate, a battle going on. Should you mandate? No, we can't, because we can't afford it. When resources get better, we will. I mean, nobody argues about the value of the kindergarten, what it contributes to the children. Chuck and I messed around with an idea, and I presented it to the superintendents I represent, and they support it. And it's a phase-in approach. It's difficult to talk to anybody, as Senator Cruz said, about where we're going to be in 2 years, given the economic climate. But we can't just wait and wait and wait. We've got to make some plans to move ahead. So we've developed a phase-in approach that would leave the, for the time being, leave the ability to charge tuition, and beginning 2012-2013, the second year of the next biennium, so you'd have the 2011 legislative session to fix it if this is a bad idea, but in 2012-2013 to begin a phase-in of the state school support fund for full-day kindergartners. The first year, you would increase the half weight to 5/8 weight for those in all-day kindergarten, and you would cap the amount districts can charge for tuition. Currently, on the average, they charge about $2,500 a year for the second half day. And as near as I can tell, an extra eighth will be about $850 in those in the out years. So you'd cap the tuition at $1,750. The second year, 2013-14, you'd increase the weight to 1/4 for the second half, three-quarters, and cap the tuition at about $1,200. The next year, another eighth, and cap the tuition at $600. And the 2015-2016 year, you would have full funding for full-day kindergarten. And people who say they don't have facilities have until 2013 to start providing facilities if they want to take advantage of the state school support. One of the criticisms that comes from this kind of an idea is some districts will use it and others won't, and the value of an ADMW goes down, therefore the other districts aren't being treated fairly. In one respect, that's true. But the issue is, do you want to press to some time certain that we will, in fact, have full-day kindergarten for every student? I didn't put what I just said in writing yet because I'm working with the numbers to try to show how bad that discrepancy might or might not be. It doesn't shift all that much in terms of kids. For example, there are about 40,000 weighted ADMs in the kindergarten age group. And so the first year, you add 1/8 or 5,000 kids to the formula. And 5,000 kids added to 650,000 kids isn't a lot. Now, how it impacts a specific district is what I got to work on. But that's essentially a phase-in that guarantees by the year 2015-16, you will have full-funded, full-day kindergartens. And I'd point out to you that in 1981, when we were having this debate, and as I said, I was debating a different side of it than I am now, or providing a different side, we finally settled for a date certain. I believe the date certain was out 5 years. Everybody had to have half day by a date certain, and I believe it was 5 years. And it was part of the same discussion we're having now, only it was over half day. And would like some time to produce some numbers to support our argument or position, and encourage you to come up with a package that you can get all of us to buy on that does, in fact, say we'll have full-day kindergarten. And we'll this also leaves that it's not a mandate, but you're fully funded if you do it. So it leaves an out for those who say, wow, I just don't have the facilities. Although I would contend to you, Beaverton is one with a facilities issue. When Hillsboro offers full-day kindergarten and Tigard offers full-day garden, Beaverton will have one very soon thereafter. And you can take that example anywhere. The community pressure will press into a mandate.
Thank you.
I would be glad to answer any questions.
I think you and I both know the superintendent of Beaverton has said, we don't have the space, but give it to us anyway. We'll use the broom closets if we have to. And I think that's what the parents would be saying. They get their questions for Chuck Bennett or Ozzie Rose.
You must have big broom closets in Beaverton.
Well, thank you both. It's an intriguing idea, Ozzie. We'll work on that and work with you and other organizations. Marcia Kelly.
Good afternoon, Chair Haas and members of the committee. My name is Marcia Kelly, and I'm testifying for the Oregon Women's Rights Coalition. Economic security is one of the major things that we work for women and families, and education, as we all know, is one of the major gateways. We're in favor of full-day kindergarten, whichever way and however you can get it. One of our organizational members is the American Association of University Women, and what Ms. House neglected to say was that AUW was one of the organizations that started in the 1920s advocating for kindergarten in the public schools. And we maintained that advocacy through virtually every session of the legislature until we got it. Now they have expanded, and our organization goes along with their effort on kindergarten. I'm not going to repeat everything that people have said, because the notes that I have that I did research on go through the fact that kids learn better, that longer time period gives the teacher a longer period of time to assess and do lesson plans. There is a really good website. The state of Montana has a coalition that works for educational efforts, and kindergarten is one of them, and it's standupmontana.org, and it will lead you to reports on all of the issues of what is good practice and the studies that have been done that have documented the reason why full-day kindergarten is good. I will also just leave you with one thing. In the 1940s, during the war, when everything was changing and we had a sea change on how people dealt with people, there was a musical called South Pacific. And one of the lines from one of the songs I remember clearly, you have to be taught before it's too late, before you were 6 or 7 or 8. And I think that that's something that we could really take advantage of. It's a different text, but it's also a text that we're dealing with in this current time frame as well. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I'm sure I think that's the first time South Pacific's been quoted in the film.
Thank you.
It's refreshing, though.
Karen Twain.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Twain. I'm a principal at Metzger Elementary in the Tigard Tualatin School District. I live and my children go to school in Senator Bonamici's district. And I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak to you about a topic that I and many of my colleagues are extremely passionate about. Let me tell you a little bit about Metzger Elementary. We have about 600 students, and we qualify as a Title I school. We have a poverty rate somewhere between 55 and 60%, and about 38% of our students qualify for our English language learner program. We have over 20, 25 countries represented in my building. I've been the principal of the school for 6 years now, and we've worked hard for the accomplishments of our students, including receiving the Celebrating Student Success Award in the state for 4 years straight. When we first attended the banquet to receive our award, we had the good fortune to hear from schools in terms of what they were doing that made a difference in closing the achievement gap. Every elementary school that spoke had one thing in common, and that was they had full-day kindergarten. Hearing this inspired our school to go back and review the research and literature on full-day programs, and it didn't take long to be sold on the idea. I approached my superintendent and other central office staff about implementing full-day kindergarten for all students. In my district, the other principals and I work as a team, so I had to float the idea by them as well. The short of the story is that we went from one section of full-day kindergarten in my building where families had to pay tuition, with some families receiving scholarships, to all students provided with the opportunity to have a full-day kindergarten program. And so we now have 5 classrooms. By providing full-day kindergarten to all students with tuition paid, it eliminated the have and have-nots. There are many parents who are living right on the poverty line who have already precluded their child from having a preschool experience because they cannot afford it. Many of those same parents have not been able to get their child into a Head Start program for a multitude of reasons. To exclude these same people from a full-day program would continue the cycle, which would not only be unfair but also hurt the schools who are working to close the achievement gap. When we first started up our full-day program, I had a segment of parents that were apprehensive in sending their child. I gave them the option to have their child come for part of the day. It took only a week or so before their child was begging them to come to the full day. These same parents have told me that they are completely sold on the program based on the difference between their older children's experience that did not have full day and the experiences of their younger children who had a more complete and exciting start to their education. When we looked at the research, there was a heavy focus on schools with higher poverty rates and minority populations. Our school fell into this category, but I know that we have schools in Tigard Tualatin School District and across the state that have similar needs but do not have access to Title I resources. Full-day kindergarten is beneficial for all kindergartners. There are students from all types of backgrounds that need the time to learn academics and how to behave in school situations. Trying to do this in 2.5 hours is near impossible. Truly, the children get to school, and by the time they get settled, they are headed out to the bus again without having learned more than one subject in any kind of depth. In fact, currently, our literacy block in our full day is 2.5 hours. So when I broached bringing full-day kindergarten to our district with other principals, all 10 elementary schools wanted it, and with good reason. We use a variety of assessments in our district to measure what kids are doing academically. One such measure is something called DIBELS. It's Dynamic Indicator of Basic Early Literacy. We use this assessment 3 times a year. In the fall, our scores are always the lowest in our district. But when we test in the winter, our students have consistently outperformed other schools that do not have full-day kindergarten. Metzger has the highest rate of non-English speakers and students living in poverty in our district, and we have the highest rate of meeting benchmark. Generally, we have about 97% of the kids who are in full day who hit it. We work hard in our reading program, but I'm sure that full-day kindergarten is the reason for these scores. Additionally, when the students come in the fall, many of them cannot stand in a line, sit in a chair, follow multi-step directions, or do other tasks that are related to success in school. We have seen a big difference to the positive in their behavior, relationships, ability to do work at school. Full-day kindergarten does not come without a cost. For our district, the other principals were willing to take reductions in other areas as a group so that we could have full-day kindergarten at Metzger. Needless to say, this is not something that can continue for the long term. In fact, I've been a part of discussions recently that make me think that Metzger and other schools will have full-day kindergarten pulled next year. It has forced districts or schools like ours to create an either-or situation, either full-day or some other program. We have become adept at making difficult decisions in education, particularly in relation to the budget. I think once the will is present, we will find a way. Funding all full-day kindergarten programs is an inevitable step, both financially and philosophically, for our state to take. For schools that are seeing the results in either their own district or in other districts, they can choose to offer full-day kindergarten to all their students and have a way to pay for it. I urge you to change our system and eliminate the barriers that exist. Schools that choose to offer full-day kindergarten need to be funded. Perhaps this can be phased in over time, or maybe we can push ahead and get this done in a timely manner to help children and families. At whatever cost, we really need to move forward and make progress. This will lessen the impact on school districts in our state and send out a message that we understand and value the difference that giving a child a positive beginning to their education can make for the rest of their lives. I saw you going through your handouts. I just wanted to tell you what this is. Sometimes
first I thought it was a note from Senator.
Now the penmanship's too good.
So what we have for the benefit of everybody here is sometimes when you're not around 5 and 6 year olds, you kind of lose perspective. So I wanted the first page is one of our students who speaks or did speak exclusively Spanish. During the first couple weeks, they're asked to do a writing sample or given a prompt. In this case, this young person was able to form some letters all over the paper. There it is. If you go to the back side of that, that was his writing sample in May. And I don't have ones from pre-full-day kindergarten, but I can tell you it wasn't like this. And then the next two pages are... you can see from May 28th, 08 last year, these are kids that came in with no skills. I didn't put their pre-assessments in here, one being a non-English speaker and one being a child who lives in extreme poverty. And they were able to string sentences together and put letters on the paper.
Right.
If I can, I've been listening and I hear the questions coming up, and I just want to give some quick facts based on questions that you asked, if that's okay. First of all, before I do that, I want to, if you can take a field trip sometime, I would love for you to come to my school, because we're one of those schools. I had to chuckle when you said, you know, we built a school 5 years ago, and when we had to do full day, our beautiful school, we cut into pieces, and we brought portables out there. And at the time, we built the school with the money that we had, and we knew full well, you know, it probably wasn't going to enable us to do some things.
But architects must love that.
Yeah. It is painful for some, but we have made makeshift classrooms. We've focused more on kids and told the adults you can't have all the space that you had, staff rooms and whatnot. You just start making really difficult choices. And so I would love it if you came out and I could show you. You know, Jada mentioned, and that's why I showed you this writing, what would you add if you needed to? We have struggled with our writing scores for years at Metzger. They're really not good. And I can't wait. In fact, time cannot go fast enough for my first group or second graders this year to get to fourth graders and take that assessment. Because I look at our third graders this year, and almost all my non-English speakers are not hitting benchmark with writing. And I know when they get to fourth grade, it's going to be a struggle. But if I look at my kids who had full day, almost all of them are there. So for me, I just, like I said, I cannot wait to get there.
And that's a pretty critical...
Oh, it's huge. When you ask, can you tell the difference? I can tell the difference. And their parents tell me they can tell the difference. And there's emails that go around between my teachers blessing the kindergarten teachers because they say, for the first time, I'm getting kids in first grade, second grade, that already have the skills. You know, you can't close that achievement gap if... you don't give them enough time to do it. And then once they get behind, they get further behind. You can never quite catch up. You know, I said if there's a will, there's a way. The facilities is a huge issue. I kind of mentioned that. But also, it costs a lot of money to increase curriculum, buy things that go in kindergarten classrooms. And I want you to know, you know, I hit the pavement, went out and got some business partners, asked them to help fund. We got donations. So if the state can help us get there, again, we'll supplement and do whatever we can. There's costs with buses and going back and forth, and then you get into this thing with half day that you keep kids an extra hour for remedial, and then it's more money for buses, and it gets very complicated. We're spending a lot of money just having kids there for the half day. I want you to know that when we got full day, we increased our kindergarten population by about 25 students. Some of those were coming back from private schools, and frankly, some of those were coming over in my district from Beaverton because they weren't offering there, and they're moving into my area. They want, that's how badly they want full day. With the new high school requirements, if you talk to my high school principals, they'll tell you we've got to have full-day kindergarten if we have any chance, because by the time those folks get to high school, unfortunately, it's a race. And so if we can get those kids coming up who already have the skills, it'll make a big difference. Finally, I just wanted to mention just quick anecdote. On my way here, I stopped by a hospital. One of my teachers, full-day kindergarten teachers, husband is in the hospital. And I told her, you know, I want to brighten your day. And I wanted to tell you I'm going down there, and I feel very hopeful. And she said, you know what? I was looking back at my half-day kindergarten plans when I taught half-day. She said, I'm embarrassed and I'm dismayed at how little those kids learned in that small time frame. Now we're giving them what they need. And she said, even in a full day, it's not enough time, but I feel like we're making progress. So I'm just, like I said, really hopeful and you know, that something will happen in the state. And again, I invite you to come see me sometime over at Metzger.
Well, Principal, we're glad to have you here. I must tell you a secret, though. We dispatched for you, knowing your history of when Metzger became School of the Year, that you credited full-day kindergarten, so I needed a few shills, but I think you know, your eloquence and your success stories is pretty much speaks for itself. Questions, panel?
A question. Thank you so much for being here, Ms. Twain.
Sure.
You talked about your literacy block being 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
With full-day kindergarten, are you able to do more of art and music, and do the students ever get a chance to just play?
Yeah. It's funny, you know, the more you get, the more you want. And so, yes, it's 2.5 hour literacy block. Math, we weren't doing so well in either, and so now we have about an hour block for that. And when I say a 2.5 hour literacy block, as an example, they have a little recess in there. We don't make them sit down and, you know, beat them over the head. They're little kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents were worried they're going to need a nap time. We don't have a nap time, but we have kind of a chill out time, if you will. The teacher reads a story and they relax a little bit. And yes, we've been able to incorporate more of the programs that we weren't able to do in 2.5 hours. Music PE library are back in the schedule. As somebody mentioned, you know, going to lunch is a big deal. Again, kids get meals that they wouldn't get otherwise, and it teaches them the routine, which I cannot say enough about. Lunch is a big deal, how to get lunch and sit down at a table and all the manners that go with that. These kids are learning. They don't have to wait till first grade and take about half the year to get that. So you're able to build in more academic time because they're more fluent in what they're able to do in terms of the school routines. So, yeah, there's some choice time. They have little stations. They'll build off of themes. And the kids, it is amazing, are just engaged for the full day. The first couple weeks, they're tired. But they build up steam, they build up endurance, and like I said, these kids are begging. The ones who only choose to come a couple hours, they don't want to miss anything. They don't want to miss the academics, they don't want to miss the fun, they don't want to miss their friends.
I think, Senator Bonamici, you touched on a valid point, though, of concern, that we're still talking about kindergarten, right?
Right.
We're not doing graduate biology here. We
got absolutely
carpet squares and singing songs and
yeah, you bet. Everything's age appropriate, and there's plenty of breaks in between, and there's times for kids to be kids, because we have increased the pace of things going on in all the schools. That's the truth. You know, we're trying to keep up with, I'm not sure who, but somebody. And so kids are, it's become a way more academic place. And we have more requirements now for our English language speakers. We have English language development that's mandated. So we've got to fit those things in. If you're a kindergarten, you come in, you get ELD, which I just mentioned, that's half an hour of your day. We don't have a choice around that. So,
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Karen, for your
sure.
very compelling testimony.
You bet.
My question is, when you went to full-day opportunity for all of your kindergartners, what deficit occurred in your balance of classes, if any? In terms of the impact, you chose to go full-day, full opportunity.
Right.
What impact did that have, any negative impact, on the other grades in your school?
Actually, none. We kept class size is the same. When, you know, the choice that my district made, we went into general funds. We took some cuts in places that wouldn't impact kids directly. In other words, like in our discretionary budgets for the principals, we all said we'd take a 5% cut to make this happen. And that's what I'm saying is I got, you know, everybody understood how this could happen, and everybody had buy-in. You know, we had a lot of discussion around it. So, and not just my elementary principals, right on up. So people believed that this could really make a difference. So we tried to keep it away from kids as much as we could. And since I was the first school to do it because I had the highest poverty rate, and since then we've added two more schools. So we have three schools out of the 10 elementary that have full day right now and fully funded by our district. But we need help.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Elizabeth, now.
For the record, Elizabeth Nall, and you'll see on my paper I have multiple different titles that I bring here today. With your permission, if I could pass these around, and I'll explain what they are.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
When I have come before you in the past, I do have my various titles. I am an NEA board director, and the National Education Association represents about 3.2 million educators across the country. Of course, sitting on the OEA board, that's approximately 48,000 members in the state. There are about 50 educators in my school, Adarinko Elementary, and I'm a mom of young children. The things I'm passing around are made by them and completely unprompted. Senator Haas, you have in your hand the Martin Luther King Day comment that my six-year-old son wrote. Would you read that for me? This was unprompted, I swear.
Dr. King had a dream. My dream is I want everyone to have good schools to go to.
Brian Williams. So, perhaps my sweaty palms are because I'm trying to represent so many people about such an important subject, and I am so grateful that you are having this hearing today. Thank you. There is a lot of data that supports that this is a good thing. So rather than reading it all into the record, I will assume that you are doing your homework and reading all of the things that the superintendent and others have given you. I'll simply say that I did sit on a committee at the Hillsborough School District, and it was led by Patty Baird and Gus Balderas, so needless to say, it was an exhaustive study of the research before we brought it in front of our board. And when we looked at every option and variation of kindergarten in the nation, the only thing that across the board there was agreement upon in every research study is that full-day kindergarten is good for kids. And it isn't something that should surprise us. Time provides us with success. It makes sense, and that's why I'm here with no reservations supporting the idea of full-time kindergarten in every school in Oregon. As I left to come and speak with you today, I ran into William's last year kindergarten teacher. She is a first grade teacher this year, and she said, oh, good, would you please tell them this for me? If you want us to meet the foundations of learning, the standards that they have put in place, we can't do it unless the outgoing kindergartners come to us in first grade ready to learn. She had been a first grade teacher her whole career until this year. She's always been a proponent of full time, but as a first year teacher, she understands it in a way that she didn't before. It is essential to start our children off ready to go. In my role as a union leader, I simply want to share with you that both the NEA and OEA have resolutions, have legislative objectives supporting this. And it's important to know that in our conversations, people say things like, well, I work for Tiger Tualatin, and if they think that it's good for kids, regardless of how hard it is on staff, they're going to put it in place. We'll have, somebody asked, how do you have classrooms in closets? Well, what happens is that becomes the music teacher's classroom, and she has a cart. And that's her classroom, and she rolls it from room to room because now the music room is the kindergarten room or whatever else. But in those conversations where we ask ourselves those tough questions, educators say, this is what's best for kids. This is what we need to do, even though it's going to make our lives harder. So I want you to hear that. The people in the trenches want this. As a child development specialist, for the last 14 years I've worked with kindergartners through sixth graders. There was 1 year I had some middle schoolers thrown in. And quite simply, every year I see students who need more time. And yes, the case has been made for poverty schools, for ELL students. It's very clear. But what I want to tell you is it's all kids. It really is all kids. The lady with the South Pacific song, I was sitting at a conference with folks from the University of Oregon who run the PBIS program, right? Nationally known, best cutting-edge stuff. And what they said to us is you have until age 7 if you want to affect behavior. Age 7. After age 7, don't completely despair. You have a 50-50 chance if you do everything right. Now, as a child development specialist, that's a little bit stressful. But how important is it then that we take those kids as 5-year-olds and shape them and get them used to those routines, allow them to have recess? Our kindergartners in our building do not have recess. The whole time I know we've taken one of my 2 years to shape their social skills away. This stuff is critically important for all students, all students. And then, lastly, as a parent, my husband and I are blessed with an exceptional two young men, and I can speak to my 6-year-old who was a kindergartner last year. And it was in many ways a wonderful year. He had an amazing, energetic, lovely teacher that he looked forward to seeing every day with wonderful classmates. But the reality was he learned very little. He was actually a student that came to school knowing pretty much what you needed to learn in kindergarten academically. I don't say that across the board. But academically, he was bored most of the day. And now as a first grader, because he's treated like a real student, a full-time student, he's in school the whole day. And so when his math class takes place in first grade, he's there at the same time that the second graders take math, and he's allowed to quietly slip out the door, go to a classroom where his needs are being met. And last night at dinner, my husband Ed asked William, what are you most looking forward to at school this week? And his answer was math. It doesn't surprise me. When you treat students like whole children, you give them math and PE and music and recess, some of them are able to tell you their favorite subject is recess, and that's a good thing. It's also a good thing that people like my son can love math. So I am thrilled to be here, very excited that you're considering this despite our economic times. As we've heard from several others today, we've been talking about this for a very long time. And I simply believe that if you don't set a date certain for a formula change, it won't happen. It will not happen. That would be a certainty. My hope is that this committee and then later the full body will set a date certain, allow us to plan for it, and make it a reality. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate your heartfelt testimony. Questions?
A question.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Elizabeth, I want to ask you a question. I probably should have also asked Karen and some of the other education people, but when you have some schools where they're offering full-day kindergarten,
Do the first grade teachers then have additional challenges with differentiation because you have some of the students who are in full day kindergarten, some of them who aren't? And I thought of that because you, when you mentioned William going out to a second grade class for math, it seems that you have even a wider range than by the time the students get to first grade if some of the students have full day kindergarten.
That's a really great question, and I have an answer for you. So the thing I will say with this is that any good educator has a wide range of differentiation that they're providing in their classroom, and that is our standard that we strive for. What occurs in schools that have full day kindergarten programs is you don't have as much of the remediation necessary. And so, in particular, we've always said that kindergarten teachers, in a way, have the hardest time because you will have individuals that show up reading and who can count to 100 and do basic arithmetic, and then you will have individuals who haven't really cut with scissors yet and don't know. I mean, when they said don't know how to line up, I laughed. I still remember my first month as a child development specialist teaching in a kindergarten classroom. Five used to be my favorite age, and I went in there and thought, oh, no, we're starting from scratch with some of these kids. So what happens in a full-day kindergarten program is you get all those kids up to grade level, and then your differentiation is actually a smaller range. You will always have some kids that are above. You'll have some kids that are a little below. You have much. You have many fewer who are below.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Tricia Yates. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Hass and members. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Tricia Yates. I'm the Associate Executive Director of the Oregon School Boards Association. We represent the state's 1,400 volunteer elected board members across the state. Appreciate the opportunity to testify today. We will underscore the testimony heard earlier on the merit of full-day kindergarten. Our members support full-day kindergarten, and we're looking for support in addition from the state in the appropriation level to make that happen. We are on policy record with our legislative policy committee as supporting full-day kindergarten when accompanied by a separate and distinct appropriation to support the program. I think it was very encouraging in statistics I heard earlier from the Department of Education that we now have 106 districts offering full-day kindergarten. That's up from about 78 districts in fiscal year 07. So I think you've seen the effort at the local level increase by a quarter when there were funds also coming from the legislature in terms of support. We would be very eager to work with you, as Mr. Bennett from COSA mentioned earlier, should you choose to put together a work group. We might have suggestions, for example, that you consider instead of a date certain, perhaps pegging to a proportion of the quality ed model level. I think I've seen estimates from the Quality Education Committee that implementing full-day kindergarten for all kindergartners in the state would be about a $100 million price tag for the fiscal year 09-11, and that's not counting facilities costs. We're trying to work, as Mr. Bennett mentioned, with COSA and the school facilities managers to give the legislature a better picture of facilities needs across the state for kindergarten and other programs and legislation that you'll be seeing this session. So we're trying to get a handle on, for those, when Mr. Bennett mentioned the 44% who don't offer the program now, what are the barriers? We're committed to helping you look at that and find the responses to underscore support for the program.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I should have said this to Chuck when he was here, but he kind of mentioned, I mean, if we're looking at facilities needs, we need to make sure we're parsing out remediation and all that other stuff and just getting down to rooms with walls and roofs, more or less, at this point in time. And I would also submit that the reason for the significant increase in kindergarten this year was school improvement fund from last session, thanks to Senator Metzger and others. So that's another key component in this as well. So,
you know, the cost figure is elusive and difficult to quantify. I've seen that $100 million, but I don't think that's a recent figure that's accurate. And not only that, it's difficult to quantify what the effectiveness is on kids who are easier to teach in third, fourth, fifth grade, and therefore less expensive to teach, not to mention you know, the effect on dropout rates and those sorts of things. I don't know how you quantify that.
So I'm not certain either, Chairman Hass. I think what we'd like to underscore is our deep interest in working with you and other parties to try to come to some solution in addressing it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Clinton Gertenreck. You don't look like
I'm
that.
Obviously not Clinton Gertenreck. My name's Dana Hepper, and I work with Stand for Children.
Well, I've met you before.
And, and Clinton is the principal at Candelaria Elementary School here in Salem, and unfortunately had another obligation, so had to duck out. But he can follow up with all of you via email with his thoughts regarding testimony and some of the research he has and some personal experiences at Candelaria. And Stand for Children, he would have said, is excited to see us having this conversation and agrees that it would be wonderful to make progress on this issue now, even if we don't have the funding now to allocate, and are interested in working with all the advocates that testified and the members of this committee to figure out what appropriate progress would be this session.
Okay, look forward to working with you. Okay, anyone else here hoping to testify on these kindergarten bills before us? Any comments from the committee? Senator Metzger.
Yeah, I would, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I think as we kind of look at this, it's been very interesting hearing some of the comments, and I know you had great leadership on this issue, and really appreciate that. Certainly in committee for the last three sessions in which I've served on the Education Committee, we have heard a lot of this. I think we heard some really good suggestions today. I think Mr. Rose has some good suggestions as well that we might want to pursue. As our one testifier who was quoting Lieutenant Gable and Mitzi Gaynor, Ms. Flawbush, about having to learn at an early age, that song was about prejudice, having to learn you learn prejudice at an early age. And I think it is true, as Mr. Rose pointed out, that there's a lot of prejudice in terms of mixing with the school formula on any issue. I mean, prejudicially, we have decided that that has always been a non-starter because it creates a lot of problems. But it also, as has been mentioned, is a barrier to doing the things that we want to do also. And sometimes you have to kind of push through that barrier. And I would point out from our interim committee, Mr. Chairman, when we were over on Commercial Street, and we had the testimony regarding the school improvement fund. And I want to get back to that because it's brought up a couple of times there.
Yeah.
And because that was a narrow list of choices, to get that money, they had to make those choices. And we saw the large number of school districts that used that for kindergarten because they either didn't have they didn't get the resources, or they applied it to something that we directed was significant. And if you look at the Department of Education's number today, we talked about we've had a 25% increase since 2 years ago. And you look at those who then use those school improvement funds because they had to use them in those narrow categories, made the decision, sometimes coupling with other funds, to actually move to full-day kindergarten. And I think that ties into some of the testimony we heard, you know, that if you channel people this way, they find a way to do that. And I mention that only as you consider the different options of moving us towards this laudable goal that everyone recognizes is important. I want to just mention again, as I did in committee a week or so ago, my reluctance, as the governor has done, is to eliminate the school improvement fund. Simply take that money and put it in the general school fund, which means it won't go to kindergarten anymore. It'll be used because it won't be tied to specific outcomes. It will just go to the basic application, especially in difficult times, to other needs. But if whatever that percentage is, whatever the school budget is, if we can continue to segregate that portion of that, which was school improvement funds, and say, hey, you know, kindergarten, or as Roseburg did with vocational ed, but be able to target that these are good policy choices, rather than maybe see a regression in full-day kindergarten from those school districts when they now have options other than that, I think we can sustain that. And that might be a tool that I would suggest we consider keeping as a way to implement full-day kindergarten, because if those monies, but for you spending on that area, they won't have obligation to get those funds, that might get more school districts to be able to target that funds to that goal. I just think in combination with some of the bills you have here, what Mr. Rose commented on, and then establishing a policy that these extra funds are there for full-day kindergarten, I think we're more likely to implement that than to maintain this the governor's proposal to dis the school improvement fund and make it, you know, everybody do whatever you want with it again.
Well said. I do think that what you're talking about is empowering and guiding instead of saying you guys make it up, which is the first time that phrase was used today. Other comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of a response to Senator Metzger, because I was part of that interim work group that, and we put a lot of time into it, and there were those of us, Senator, who would think that the list we created was too big, mm-hmm. and some who thought maybe it was too narrow. But politics are politics, and we ended up with what we did. But there's also supposed to be some performance measurements based upon the utilization of that fund, which I think is also important. And like you said, you know, my folks chose vocational ed, which was a huge crying need as well. So, which I know is also an interest of yours. But you know, looking at segregated directed funding. Was a good idea, still is a good idea. I agree with you. I'd hate to see that money just get rolled into the formula and be lost forever in that big mass of money that we send out. So I think we've been presented a lot of options today. You know, for the record, Mr. Chair, I'm not opposed to full day AK.
Nobody said you were.
Well, some of you know, I seem to play the devil's advocate here a lot. It's just that it has to be done right. And I think we have a lot of options on the table.
Senator Cruz, I appreciate the role you're playing. Devil's advocate is our job. So I thank you all for hanging in there. And I thought it was a very compelling day. Senator Bonamici, you had a comment?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just wanted to make a comment. I'll let you close. I think Senator Metzger and Senator Cruz bring up some interesting points. The thing that concerns me is creating disparity among students statewide, because if we get into a situation where even, you know, district by district, or if you have adjoining districts and some students get full-day kindergarten and some don't, that creates a concern for me. And also, if we're taking money out of the general fund that would otherwise go, then we're to the K-12 budget, or the rest of the classes, then to some extent we're affecting the other grades as well. I don't think there's any question in my mind about the merits of full-day kindergarten. We heard some very persuasive testimony about it. I don't have any doubt that it's best for kids if done right, but I want to make sure that how we do it doesn't create an inequitable situation among Oregon students.
If it was simple, it would have already been done.
Well, thank you. I do think that we had a lot of heart and soul in the testimony here today that I hope will inspire us to do more and pass out of this committee than just extending the technical fix that we passed in February. And that's my pledge, is to get that out of this committee, to do more on this issue. So hopefully we'll be able to work with these folks and bring it all together, because I know there's some compromise that exists within everything we heard today. You don't have this many talented people and good-hearted people moving forward in one direction without finding some common ground. So thank you, and we are adjourned.
So we're meeting to represent Belcher's office.